This is the time of the year when I realized the wisdom of God that the wisdom of God that He gave children parents and not grandparents. We get kind of a little bit of role reversal this time of the year. I have been the one that's been involved with the kids in 4-H, and this is Warren County Fair Week. We start Wednesday, and as you in Polk County know, the Polk County Fair is going on now. It started, this is kind of a culmination of the 4-H year when you take projects to the fair and they're judged, and we're doing just that. It's also the time of the year when there isn't enough Celebrex in the bottle to take care of all the aches and pains that I have. It's just a time where you go with maybe a little less sleep, and you don't have any trouble falling asleep when your head hits the pillow, that's for sure. But you wake up and you just don't have the grip that you used to, and it's a little hard for sometimes it's basically kind of depends on grandpa to tame this animal down so an 80 or 100 pound child can lead around a 1,300-1,400 pound calf. And last night it seemed like they were kind of sluggish, and Maddie and I took hers out in a bigger area other than the arena that we usually kind of parade in, and they just seemed like we just kind of constantly they just didn't want to move, and so we took them out. I thought a different environment, just they just do better in a different environment, so we took them out in a bigger area, and that steer decided to show me a lot of energy that I hadn't seen in several weeks anyway. I was able to hold on, but I'm feeling the price of it today a little bit. This has kind of led me into my topic, because when you get involved in some of these things, just like you get involved in a lot of the sports issues, you get involved and you almost feel like it's a cattle worship. You almost can kind of place yourself back in the Old Testament when the children of Israel worshipped idols, and when they made the golden calf under Aaron's leadership when Moses was up on the mountain. You almost can see how it can go too far, and there's big money to be won in big shows. We're not that big into that big money in Warren County, but it is a chance for the kids to have a different experience than what they get in sports and school. It broadens their horizons and gives them different things to be involved in their life, and always looks good when they're applying for colleges and scholarships and things like that. And so that's what we're going to be involved in this week. And kind of takes me back, though. I was thinking it was last Father's Day, not this Father's Day, but a year ago when Mark and Ginger had invited people out for pie after the Sunday evening service like they usually do. And I had to do some chores before I was going to go down and eat my pie. And Nathan and Maddie happened to be up with me and doing the chores, and we had a newborn calf, and it was kind of a descendant of one of Carol's Charolais, and this calf didn't have a name, and Maddie usually names practically all the calves. We had we do a Canadian numbering and a naming system, and you do a different letter of the alphabet each year, and years ago when Carol had Charolais, there was a heifer that we named Madison, but she got sold, and Maddie likes to name him after herself. And for the last couple years, it's the year of the M. No, it wasn't year of the M. It was year of the R, which would have been a couple years ago. There was one born on her birthday. It happened to be a male, so instead of naming it like male, Vern's middle name's Madison, and how she kind of got her name, we called it Radisson since it was year of the R. And so Radisson got sold not too long ago. And last year, lo and behold, a calf was born on her birthday, and it was a heifer this time, and so we still have Sadison. But anyway, back to Nathan and Maddie. They were out there, and as I said, Maddie names most of them, except for last year Sydney came out and put one with her namesake on it. Gave her a choice, a couple animals, and she chose one, and so we have a Sydney. But Nathan came up with a name. This was a little bull calf, and he came up with the name of Seth for this calf, and it kind of had a click to it. I didn't know if that click would never go away. And when it walked, it clicked. And why it clicked, I don't know. But it was clicking in the day that Nathan named it. But Seth has grown up, and for I think the first time, in all the years that we're taking, actually probably going to get a Charlet of the Warren County Fair. 3 years ago, we had one and we called Nadia, and then we later called her Naughty Nadia. I think she should have been born in the year of the L, lead and lunge. She was just too much. She'd kind of lead a little bit, and then she'd get tired of it, and when you'd pull on her chain, she'd lunge for you. And I just thought, for a 70-80-pound child leading around this calf, I didn't think it was for Nicky to take. He had a. It was kind of special to me anyway, because that year we had a Hereford that was from my dad's Herefords. He took her, and that was Neon. And we had Nadia that was supposed to be from great-grandpa Warren's farm, and then we had some limousines. We had Nicole and Natalie were taken from my animals that were there. And so he had like four heifers signed up, but he only had three of them at the fair because we just thought Nadia was a bit of a safety hazard. But guess who Seth's mother is? Naughty Nadia. Seth's been much more cooperative than Naughty Nadia. But hopefully we'll get a Charlet to the county fair this year. Last year we had one, and we basically disqualified him before the fair. I took him down the vet a couple days before the fair, and he said, yeah, that's a wart. And he had a wart, and you're not supposed to take warts. That's part of the ethics of they're not supposed to have. It's a virus that they have, and they produce these warts. It doesn't affect the meat. It's just you're not supposed to take them. And so hopefully this year we already had a wart on Seth, and we got it off, and I don't even know, can't even see where it was now, so hopefully we'll get a Charlet to the county fair and Nicky will do well with him. But this whole project of taking beef and the show steer aspect and how neat some of them can be, and especially when you grow a good one and you think, boy, this steer has possibilities, only in the show ring, unfortunately. But you get kind of excited about it, and you see where some people have taken this. We don't get into air conditioning, but some people put them in air conditioning so they have longer hair, and so longer hair can kind of conceal any kind of imperfections in an animal, and they have more to groom with and so forth. And there's just many things that a lot of people do that we don't do, but we probably progress a little bit farther, closer to that area than we did when we first started. But that's where we're headed this week, and you see a lot of people involved in this, and you can kind of almost see that it's cattle worship or something. Not that we're making a golden calf, but it's kind of sad because my throat gets a little choked up when I lead that animal, try to lead it onto the trailer after whoever's bought it after the sale, and that's the way the kids make their money, and Grandpa recoups some of his expenses and so forth. But your throat gets a little stiff. I guess I'm glad I'm that way. I'd rather I'm that way than insensitive to it. But this animal is going to die. It's going to be slaughtered and produce some good steaks. And as Nathan was a little concerned about that, he says, "We're not going to eat Seth, are we?" And I think Marty and Lisa assured him that, "No, we're not going to eat him, but probably somebody will." And so these animals will have good steaks and good hamburger for somebody, but we won't know who it is. This prompted me was tied in with a lesson I thought I was going to develop, but I've decided to use it for a closure for today, for an invitation. It reminded me of this verse that's in the Bible, and primarily the 25th verse of what Nico read. Who changed the truth of God to a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. In the Bible, we're constantly reminded how God wasn't pleased when His people worshiped idols. He didn't want any people to worship idols. And it seemed to be something that primarily the pagans, the Gentiles did, and the Israelites wanted to follow occasionally. But it seemed the history of this, from what I was able to read, was that kind of in the beginning, man wanted something. And it's something I hadn't thought of, and I haven't really hashed around completely, but it's just that, man talked to God in the beginning. Adam and Eve talked to God. There was this one-on-one. Possibly they saw him just as he was. But that was before they sinned. Once they sin and were cast out of the garden, man has never been able to see God like they were able to communicate with him before. Not that he didn't communicate with people like Moses and so forth. There wasn't the closeness after sin entered the world. And at first it seems that when men wanted something to worship, when they could no longer see God, they chose to try to make something in their own image, which kind of, we've all kind of probably had the feeling that somehow God resembles a human being, that he created man in his own image. So that also gives us a clue that God is somehow shaped, even though he's a spirit and not in a human flesh, he is somewhat, maybe in appearance, like us. In Revelations, we have some terms that make it a little hard for us to identify him as being like a human in appearance. But nevertheless, those pictures or those little glimpses of we have from like Revelation are there, and man has gotten the idea that he is somewhat like God, and so his first images that he made or idols were of the man, the form of man. But then they seemed to change, and sometimes a man made idols in the form of something he feared. You know, we should fear God when we're in sin, but these people quit making just idols of like of the human form. They made them of creatures that they may form. They feared. So if there was an animal that they feared, they may have made an image like that and worshipped it, and something they feared. Like, we'll worship something we fear, and maybe it will leave us alone. Some of our early images show like a half horse, half man, or half goat, half man, or a man with some head of a man with some like horns, or goat-like features and so forth. We find a blend of man and animal as far as the images that were made, or that were definitely idols. I don't know if bestiality came before the idol, the half animal, half man-like idol, or vice versa, but it's something that's kind of addressed here, that how the depravity of man can sink so low and fall in some of these areas. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. I'd like to read in a couple, this is from Moses Lard, kind of the setting. This is from around this in Romans. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against the impiety and injustice of all men who keep down the truth. The Gentiles had the truth, for God had made it known to them. But when they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God. By their reasonings, they became foolish and dull in heart and exchanged the honor due to God for the worship of idols. For this God gave them up to base passions, and as a result, they dishonored their bodies among themselves. Being abandoned of God, both their men and their women degraded themselves by their vile practices. They received in their own bodies the due reward of their error. They rejected God from their knowledge, and He rejected them. After this, they became filled with every vice and crime. These they not only practiced themselves, but even had the delight in others for practicing them. As this they did, knowing the decree of God, both against their sins and against themselves, they therefore sinned willfully and recklessly. Notice that that's not just to do with sexual or sin of that nature, but that's just human nature. These they not only practice themselves, but even had delight in others for practicing them. People that do lots of things, whether it's a vulgarity or obscenity, they like to see others doing what they're doing because they have comfort in numbers. And if you... As the communion song that Jason led, if you are a person that that last verse, then to life I turn again, learning all the worth of pain, learning all the might that lies in a full self-sacrifice. A person that doesn't isn't immoral. A person that doesn't use vulgarities, a person that is kind to others. These people are not well favored by people like this that are full of vulgarity. They want to see other people doing the same things they're doing. They want to feel comfortable in numbers, that there's no one that's, since their conscience is kind of seared, they don't want you and me being a conscience for them, or you and me telling them they need to repent of their sin. So this is just a side shoot of the immorality they were involved in. They wanted to be immoral. They wanted to be whether it was same sex or not. They wanted to be immoral, and they wanted to have others enjoying the same things they were doing, and they delighted in watching or looking at others doing the same thing. There's a side shoot of this lesson that I guess I want to put out before us. And I was telling Mark not too long ago, he came in, and I think he said, I came into his house, and he said, Paris Hilton got released. And I think that's when I told him, you know, I could care less if I ever heard the word name Paris Hilton or Britney Spears or a few other people. I don't know if it's old age or what. My parents, long time ago, they didn't know anything about what was going on in the world as far as the pop culture or something. And I think I'm about there. I'm so sick and tired of hearing these people that, and I guess I'm on, you know, I've said a few private comments to people, and I'll say it public here. All those little tabloids that you see when you pass through and you pay for your groceries, if the whole world would just stop buying those things, I think the world would be a better place. Because of those people buying those papers and those magazines, there's photographers out there trying to get glimpses and shots of everything under the sun, of everybody, the more naked the better. And any story, I mean, you know, I look at them when I pass by, but I wouldn't dare pick one up and look at it, or wouldn't purchase one. I think the world would be a better place without that, because it's just tending to our baser culture here. We're raising people up, or maybe they're a good actor or actress or something, but we're raising them up just to glorify when they fall or something like that. Some of these people have no talent other than they have a beautiful body to start with, and some of them don't even have a beautiful body to start with. It's just in the same way with the sports figures. It's along this category of worshiping the creature more than the creator, and it's out of control. All I'll say on that. It looks like it's about time to close. My clothes was going to be what I was thinking about talking about before, and I didn't really go where I thought it was going to go. It's mostly from, if I find it, there it is. It's from passages, and a couple of them are in Galatians. Galatians, the third chapter, 13th verse. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Now, the reason we don't have this curse anymore, we aren't under that law, because Christ paid the price that we don't have to be under that law anymore. He died on the cross, was that curse on the tree, for our sin, and for all those who were under that law and were under that curse. And also in Galatians 4:5, but when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons, that we can be joint heirs, that we can be sons of God, adopted sons, but just as well with God, forgiven of our sins, and subject to an inheritance to be with Him, be a spiritual inheritance that we can spend eternity with Him if we live our lives correctly. But also in Titus 2:14, start this sentence is back in verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Jason led a song earlier, I think it was Heaven Holds All to Me. Wasn't it earlier that we led that? People with a different attitude than what we're going to see glorified in the newspapers. That stuff sells. It sells in those magazines, so the register, they put it on inside the cover of the front section, trying to promote their paper, make better sales for it. But it does nothing for us and God. It doesn't make us draw closer to God. If anything, it distracts us. It maybe discourages us because maybe we think the whole world has to be beautiful on the outside. But God's looking for beautiful people inside that have been cleansed, that have had their sins washed away because they've accepted his Son, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Not some immoral act that's going to give me syphilis or some STD, but some work that will be pleasing to God, to show that I have the proper faith. That's what God's looking for, people that are beautiful inside, people that have been cleansed, had their sins washed away, people that remain clean in righteousness. Whatever your needs be this morning, if you never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, we give you that opportunity. You need to do that. We don't know what the future holds for us. We may have all of today, we may have all of tomorrow, we may not. We don't know what we have in store for us. If you need some special help from this congregation, you need to acknowledge sin, or you'd like to place membership, please do so as we stand and sing the song that Jason has given us.